And we're your hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicardo.
Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go F1 Podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Diane Bortoletto, your pre-drive to survive Formula One fan, and today I'm in Margaret River, cold, wet, and raining. I'm back home, and I'm recording this podcast solo. My co-host, Monique Chicardo, your post-drive to survive Formula One fan, is on a cruise in Svalbard in the north of Norway, where she's going to look at polar bears. She's doing kayaking amongst glaciers and floating icebergs. So you can check out all of Monique's travels at Monique Chicardo on Instagram if you're interested in following along. So today will be a short, sharp episode, an Austrian recap. I'm also pretty excited for anyone that's gone out to see F1 the movie this week, because if you're a new Formula One fan and you've gone out to see the movie and then you've jumped in to watch your first Grand Prix, the Austrian Formula One race, well, weren't you in for a treat? It was a really exciting race. Race 11, the Austrian Grand Prix in Spielberg in Austria. It is the fourth shortest race on the calendar, with 10 corners. Seven of them are overtaking opportunities, just a 4.32 kilometres long, and the race was 71 laps, shortened to 70 laps because of Carlos Sainz not getting off the start grid. George Russell won here last year. The racetrack also has an elevation of 63.4 metres and three DRS zones. So the Grand Prix itself was, well, it was a great race. It was full of action right from the very start. So, you know, poor Carlos Sainz didn't even get off the start line. His car had some sort of issue where it was in first gear, but the car wasn't going. And then during the formation lap, Carlos Sainz ended up getting the car going. He had to go into the pits. There was a delayed start for the race. While his car was in the pits, the rear brakes caught on fire. There were flames and smoke, and he had to retire the car before he even started. So that was a real shame for Williams. Kudos to Lando Norris, who did not participate in Free Practice 1 on Friday, but he led every other session. He qualified fastest, and he led the race from start to finish. Our boy Oscar Piastri really gave it a red hot crack. The first 20 laps were so exciting, with both of them fighting wheel to wheel. Oscar trying to overtake with everything that he had, but he just couldn't quite get there. And then they pitted. And the fight continued, but there was some distance. Oscar was just fanging it. Honestly, he was just putting in fastest lap after fastest lap, trying to catch Lando. And in the end, he got to pretty close to a second and a half behind Lando, but it just wasn't enough to overtake him before the finish line. So Lando Norris crossed the line first. Oscar Piastri, who qualified in third position, actually finished the race in second. Charles Leclerc from Ferrari, who qualified in second, actually finished in third, which was a really great result for Ferrari, and he was really happy. And Ferrari had bought an upgrade package to this race, and that seemed to pay dividends. Lewis Hamilton in Ferrari qualified fourth and finished fourth. George Russell in Mercedes finished fifth. Liam Lawson in a career best finish in the Racing Bulls. He qualified in sixth position and held on to that and finished in sixth position at the race. Well done to the Kiwi. I know we haven't always been the biggest fans of Liam Lawson. It's taken half a season. It was a rocky start to the season, let's be fair. But this weekend, he seems to have found his stride in the car, in the team, and has gotten results. Old boy, Fernando Alonso. So good to see him in the points in the Aston Martin in seventh. And my cousin, Gabriel Bortoletto, 1T02, finished in his career best, a points finish, first points in Formula One ever, reigning Formula 2 champion, Gabriel Bortoletto in the Kick Sauber. finished in eighth. So stoked for him. His teammate, Nico Hülkenberg, finished in ninth after qualifying dead last. He started dead last. So that was a really great result for Nico Hülkenberg. And Esteban Ocon in the Haas finished in 10th. So that's the top 10 of the race. Oliver Bearman, his teammate in Haas, finished 11. Isaac Hadjar and the Racing Bulls, 12. Pierre Gasly in the Alpine in 13th. Lance Stroll, Aston Martin in 14th. Franco Colapinto in the Alpine finished in 15th. And he created some controversy by trying to overtake Lance Stroll because it's a short circuit. The Austrian Grand Prix is like 4.3 kilometres long. And Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, the race leaders, were coming in to lap the backmarkers, Lance Stroll and Franco Colapinto. Franco Colapinto was trying to overtake Lance Stroll when Oscar Piastri was coming through, actually ran Oscar off the track. There's lots of memes going around of the team radio of Oscar saying, you know, after all these years, Alpine have still found a way to F me over. Yeah, that little push off the track that resulted in Oscar collecting some grass and gravel, but resuming the race probably cost him his chance to overtake Lando. Maybe not, maybe, we don't know, but nonetheless, it was just a crappy move from Franco Colapinto, who claims he didn't see Oscar Piastri there. 16th position, Yuki Tsunoda in the Red Bull. Alex Albon in the Williams, DNF'd, Max Verstappen DNF'd. Max Verstappen and Kimi Antonelli had a collision on lap one. In the first couple of corners, they made contact. It was Kimi's fault and he admitted it and apologised to the team on the team radio, apologised to Max. It was a situation where he came in a bit hot into a corner with lots of traffic at the start of the race and locked up the brakes and collected Max, ending both of their races. So both Max and Kimi Antonelli DNF, and Carlos Sainz, as mentioned, didn't even get off the grid. So Alex Albon's DNF was a result of coming in to pit, got new tyres, and then the team called him back in after a lap to retire the car. So it was awful, awful weekend for Williams, pretty awful weekend for Red Bull Racing as well, with Yuki finishing, well, dead last in 16th position because we had four DNFs and Max Verstappen being taken out of the race, another DNF. So not good for Red Bull and Williams. Great result for McLaren. Again, a 1-2. You can tell that Oscar's really hungry to maintain his win. And like I said, he was fighting pretty hard and not letting Lando just cruise around in P1 during the race. He was challenging. It was all good, clean challenges, all good, clean racing, and a really entertaining race. Driver of the day was my cousin, Gabriel Bortoleto, 1T02, for getting his first points finish. Just fabulous to see from the young Brazilian. Austria was a two-stop strategy, mostly. Nearly every driver started on the medium tyres, except for Gasly, Bearman, Colapinto and Hülkenberg. Got to say that the pit stops for McLaren, the first two pit stops, weren't great. So when Lando pitted, the first pit stop was 3.1 seconds. And then when Oscar pitted, five laps later in lap 25, his pit stop was 3.4 seconds, the first one. Not great. They rectified themselves with the second pit stop, the McLaren team, with really fast pit stops, 2.5 for Norris and 2.0, dead on 2 seconds for Piastri. But he was released in traffic, so that wasn't great, again, for him to try and catch his teammate and take the lead of the race. Lewis Hamilton also was unhappy about being called in for a second set of tyres. He was on the mediums and on lap 51 of a 70-lap race and asked the team, I want to stay out, don't bring me in. And the team just said, for the optimal race, you've got to come in box, box, which meant that the gap between Lewis and Leclerc stayed the same. He had no chance of being able to catch Charles and challenge for third place. There was lots of overtaking and action on the track. At lap 56, Russell overtook Lawson, moving Lawson into sixth place, and Russell finished in fifth place. It was also interesting that the last 10 laps of the race, Lando was on the team radio asking his race engineer, I need to find some pace, asking essentially for some coaching. You know, he could see, or maybe he knew or was told of Oscar's lap times. And like I said, Oscar was really pushing hard to try and take the lead. Also really good to see in the last few laps was Bortoleto, who was in eighth place. He was right on the tail of Fernando Alonso, who happens to also be his manager. So he was trying really hard to overtake Fernando to finish in seventh. That didn't happen. Fernando defended well. Bortoleto didn't quite have the pace. And so he finished in eighth place, which is where he qualified. A really, really great result for Bortoleto. Those two congratulated each other. Fernando gave Bortoleto, Gabriel, a really big hug after the race, which was really lovely to see. So it's interesting to see that 2 years ago was when McLaren brought upgrades. It was at the Austrian Grand Prix, and that really was the turnaround point. It started a new trajectory for the team. They were dead last before that. This weekend, they also had new upgrades. They had new front wings, new front brake ducts, new suspension, and they were just flying. They finished over 20 seconds, actually, from their nearest rival, which was Charles Leclerc. Yes, it was a career best finish for Liam Lawson in the Racing Bulls, who finished sixth, who finished, well ahead of his teammate, Isaac Hadjar, who finished in 12th. And in other news, for race 11 for the Austrian Grand Prix, Fred Vasseur, the team principal for Ferrari, left Austria for personal reasons. We don't know what they are, but the deputy team principal, Jerome D'Ambrosio, took the reins and stepped up while Fred Vasseur was away. Let's hope that everything is okay with Fred and whatever is going on, the personal reasons for him not being at the race. It was a really, really hot race. The air temperature was about 30, 31 degrees. Track temperature was over 50 degrees. At some points, I was saying 53 degrees. At the start of the race, Alonso was sitting on the grid before the formation lap saying, I can't tell you how hot my racing seat is. My race seat feels like it's 200 degrees. So it was very hot. Now, we know that the Mercedes cars don't perform well when the car is hot. They perform better for some reason in cool weather, such as Canada last week, where Russell won the race, of course. In other news, the Austrian Grand Prix will remain on the calendar until 2041. And this week is also the week of Female Engineering Week, I believe. And so instead of a celebrity grid walk, maybe there's not so many celebrities in Austria, I'm not sure, but Sky Sports opted to interview women in teams, women that were on the grid, female engineers, ask them a little bit about their career, what they're responsible for, how they got into engineering, and that was really lovely. A nice, I suppose, contrast to Formula One, the movie, which has just been released. I went and saw it. Of course, I couldn't wait. Even though Monique is away on a cruise and won't have a chance to see the movie for another week or so, maybe 2 weeks, I couldn't wait. We had to go see it. I loved nearly everything about it. If you haven't gone to see it, go and see it. Don't wait for it to be on Apple TV. It is worth seeing on the big screen. The racing action, the storyline is all very good. There are some things that could be done a lot better, and some things where Formula One just missed the mark, or the movie rather, just missed the mark completely. And I'll save that discussion for Monique. If you're on the fence, should I go see it or not go see it? I don't really like Formula One. Well, you know, do you like flying fighter jets? You've probably seen Mission Impossible. It builds the adrenaline up. It keeps you hooked on the storyline. I found myself cheering for the team. I even actually shed a tear during the film. Yes, it's a bit cheesy in parts. It's Hollywood, you know, but when else are you going to see Formula One on the big screen? You're not. So it is really worth going to the movies for it. It's shot brilliantly. I just walked out of the cinema feeling like I just immediately wanted to go see the film again, and I probably will. Max Verstappen in the Red Bull reigning world champion, his DNF at Austria meant that this ended his 31 race streak of scoring points as a result of Kimi Antonelli locking up on lap one and causing a collision with Max Verstappen, which ended both of their races. Kimi Antonelli has a 3-grid penalty for the next race, which is the British Grand Prix. So just having a look at quali, Carlos Sainz didn't make it out of Q1, and neither did Nico Hülkenberg. Carlos Sainz damaged the floor of his car. Liam Lawson made it into Q3 and qualified 6th ahead of Max Verstappen. So again, a career best quali for Liam Lawson. And in Q3, Gasly had a spin right at the end of Q3, which meant that Oscar couldn't get his final run in. He'd already qualified with a time that was good enough to have him start in third, but he might have done better than that, but he didn't get a chance to actually do his flying lap because of Gasly's spin. So in the driver's standing, Oscar Piastri still leads on 216 points. Just 15 points behind is his teammate Lando Norris. And then Max Verstappen, despite a DNF, he is still in third position on 155 points. So there is, 46 points separating Max Verstappen and Lando Norris. In fourth place is George Russell, who's only 9 points behind Max on 146. Then Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari on 119. Lewis Hamilton in 6th. Kimi Antonelli in 7th. Alex Albon in 8th. Esteban Ocon in 9th. And Nico Hülkenberg, top 10 drivers. In the team standings, it's a McLaren show. They're so far ahead, it's hard to imagine anybody catching up. So McLaren are currently on 374 points, nearly double second place Mercedes, who is on 119, then Ferrari on 183, Red Bull on 162. Then there's a bit of a drop with Williams on 55, Haas 28, Racing Bulls equal 28, Aston Martin 22, Kick Sauber 22, and Alpine on just 11 points. And in other news, happy birthday to Nico Rosberg, who turned 40, entering a new decade. Daniel Ricciardo has teamed up with Dabble, and they're giving away a meet Daniel Ricciardo and have a tailgate party. Valtteri Bottas dropped a cheeky clip insinuating that he liked the Cadillac seat. Was that a teaser? Is he driving for Cadillac? Or is that him saying he wants to drive for Cadillac? We're just going to have to wait and see. But check out Valtteri's Instagram it was very cheeky and quite an amusing piece of content. Carlos Sainz Sr. has announced that he is not running for FIA presidency. Carlos Sainz Jr. has said that as a son, he's very happy that his dad's decided not to run for president. But as a Formula One fan, he's a bit sad. As a Formula One fan, I'm a bit sad as well. I thought Carlos Sainz Sr. would have made a great FIA president. And there's lots of rumours swirling around that Max Verstappen is considering a move to Mercedes. Now, before Monique went away on her cruise, I asked her for her predictions for the Austrian Grand Prix. And this is what she said. What are your predictions for the Austrian Grand Prix, Mon?
Well, good question. Good question. I'm out of practice now that we've had a week without a race. But given we have seen a resurgence in the Ferraris and the Mercedes, and our top teams seem to be taking their turns on the podium, I think I am going to go. Again, I'm going to be incredibly predictable and incredibly biased, but I'm going to go with Piastri first because he didn't win last race. So I'm going to give him his win this week. And we're going to go, let's wildcard it and go Charles Leclerc. And I am going to put in, let's say, Norris. That's going to be my top three.
Okay. All right, and my top three for Austria are going to be, I'm going to say Piastri. I think Norris is going to try even harder in mm-hmm. Austria to do well. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to fluff it up again. So I'm not going to put Norris in the top three. So I'm going to say Piastri, Verstappen,
who's always done well in Austria.
Oh, I forgot that. Damn it.
And Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah, I forgot. We're in Austria. Damn it. Otherwise, it's 10%. Okay, fair enough. Good call. Look, can we say like that there's a good chance that there's going to be about six of them that could be in that top three?
Which is why it's such a great season, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So she did quite well, actually. She chose the top three, but in the wrong order. So she chose Piastri, Leclerc, Norris, and obviously it was Norris, Piastri, Leclerc in the top three. My top three predictions for Austria was so completely off. I said Piastri, Verstappen, and Kimi Antonelli. Now, two of those three didn't even finish the race, didn't even get past lap one. And obviously, Piastri finished second. Now, one thing about the Austrian Grand Prix that I found out when doing some research is that, look, it's in Spielberg. It's a little town in the mountains, about an hour near, you know, to the closest city by train. So what they've done to help fans with accommodation, every year there's a pop-up tent hotel. So you can book tents where you stay in proper beds, you sleep in proper beds, there's room service, the tents are, you know, they have electricity. It's just a fabulous, sustainable, environmental way of helping fans get accommodation close to the track for the Austrian Grand Prix. Of course, there's also camping, but for people, say like you or me, who might need to fly into Austria to go to the Austrian Grand Prix, you're not going to take all your camping gear on a flight, are you? So this is a great, great, great option. Now, Austria as a destination is the Sound of Music. Yes, it's exactly like that. It's just beautiful. I have only been to Vienna in Austria and travelled through the country on a coach a long time ago. And I remember Vienna being just absolutely beautiful. So Vienna as a city is full of palaces that have intrinsic and grandiose architecture, Baroque style architecture, neoclassical architecture, and palaces such as, I'm going to butcher this, I'm so sorry. The Schönbrunn Palace is really lovely. You can do a walking tour through the city centre that includes Stratopera, which is the opera house, and the Stephansdom Cathedral. I'm so sorry, Stephansdom Cathedral. I remember everywhere you turn, it's just a beautiful city, clean, organised, flat. So I think cycling tours are very popular in Vienna as well. It's a place that I would really, really, really like to go back to. Now, Silverstone's coming up next weekend, the British Grand Prix, which is always such a great Grand Prix to watch. So again, any new fans that have watched F1 the movie that want to get into the sport, if they tune into the British Grand Prix, I'm hoping that they're in for a great race, which is what it's been for the last 2 years, just super entertaining with lots of action on track. So I've got a clip. We recorded this before she went on the cruise, so a week and a half out from the Silverstone Grand Prix. So here's Monique's predictions for Silverstone. We're 2 weeks out, or week and a half out from Silverstone, but you're going to be away. So I'm going to ask you your predictions now, Mon, for Silverstone. Who's your top three?
My favourite question. 2 weeks out is really, really hard to try and get a gauge on who's going to be in the top three, given that things can change at any instance. Look, I'm just going to throw some random names out there, and I'm going to go Verstappen, Norris, Piastri. I know. I have done our boy a dirty by putting him in third, but, you know, you can't win it all as much as we would like him to. So I'm going to put it there, but just, you know, a little bit of a wild card guess that might be what happens in 2 weeks' time. So, oh, damn it. I forgot. It's Norris's race. He's British. So I'm going to go Norris, Verstappen, Piastri. Sorry, changed it. There we go.
Okay, Norris, Verstappen, Piastri. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good shout. It's actually who I would have gone with as well. Yeah.
Oh, look at us being aligned like that.
It might change.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, if you've seen the F1 movie, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What did you think of the film? What did you love about it and what did you not love about it? Would you go see it again? Would you recommend it to other people? I'd love to hear your thoughts. So if you like our podcast, please rate, review, please subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. It really helps our podcast grow. You can find And Away We Go F1 Podcast on all the podcast listening apps, and we post clips and content on all the social media channels. You can find us on LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I think I've covered them all up. This is normally Monique's line. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks for all your support. Until next week and until lights out.
It's lights out and away we go.
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Ciccato.
Let's do it.